Well, good morning. Happy Valentine's early. For a small price, you can take a picture over there with the Joy Group's background that they left for you. For a small donation, or if you want them to take it, they'll take it and print it for a larger donation. No, you can take one for nothing. But since we won't see you again before Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about our relationships today, but not just, we're going to talk about several kinds of relationships because there's more than one kind. And that's what we're going to look at quickly. When God created the earth and everything in it, he said that the only thing that wasn't good was Adam's situation because he was alone. And therefore, he corrected that or fixed that by creating an Eve so that he would not be lonely. And everything after that has been patterned because God saw relationships as a priority all throughout the Scripture. And so that's what we're looking at. We're not just looking at husband-wife relationship, but we're going to look at several relationships. Friend relationships, spouse relationships, and children, because those are the main ones that we deal with. In the Ten Commandments, whenever they were given, I know you remember, but the first four are vertical that deal with who God is. And then when he gets to the last six, they're horizontal, because in order for us to have these right with each other, the one with God must be right. But those six lay out groundwork for how relationships supposed to work. When it says thou shalt not, it deals with the relationship with someone else. I mean, that's what they're for. That's what it does. So that is the concept. And the most important relationship organism is outside of the family is the church. And that's exactly why Jesus instituted the church. That's exactly what the temple was for in the Old Testament. It was supposed to be a groundwork for everyone to see. The rituals there, they were a place there, were to help people deal with relationships, every bit of it, the relationship with God by the sacrifice, but everything else. It was a place where people can bond spiritually and emotionally with one another and to strengthen one another, because what was his name? Forrest Gump, yeah. Remember, he said, shrimping is tough. Relationships are tough. There's some basic things that we can do that will help deal with the issues, but they're going to be there. They're going to be there, and it's important. It's clear that the Bible, in the Bible, the relationships matter more than anything else. You remember in... it's in the gospel several places, but where the gentleman was bringing a gift to the altar, and it's important. God absolutely wants us to offer gifts, and very, very important. But what he said was, I don't want it till you go out there and fix a relationship you have with someone. What is that? Boy, that's how important relationships like on this horizontal level are. He said, I don't really care what you're bringing to me, what you're going to try to offer me, because until you go out there and at least try to fix that one, I'm not even going to listen to you. What does that mean? Relationships are extremely important, and God holds us accountable for those, and that's exactly what we're going to look at for our relationship with God and then with one another. James Dobson said a long time ago, he said, it's some strange reason human beings tolerate stress and pressures on this earth much more easily if just one person knows about it, even if they can't do anything about it. Boy, that's important. It is. To have some kind of relationship, if it's either friend or spouse or even with children, where at least you can talk with someone even if they can't fix it. How we are able to deal with the pressures if at least one other person knows about it. That's still true. Absolutely. Now, the first one I'm looking at quickly is friend relationships. That is just friendships. Basically, it's all that is. Since being a friend involves bonding with someone, James, in the book of James, as we saw, warns us not to become friends with the evil ways of the world, but also for to do so makes us an enemy of God. So we need to be careful who we choose to allow to be our closest friends, because we get to choose that. You know the old saying, right? I won't repeat that, because I didn't think through how to change it, and I might get in trouble, so I won't say that. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That proverb, what? Shows that the natural ties of people can be superseded and surpassed by ties of willing devotion and companionship. You probably have seen it if you've lived very long. Even if you have a really, really close friendship with your family, you know, if you're really on great terms, and unfortunately there's a lot of families in the world today who do not get along with each other. That's unfortunate. In those cases, absolutely, true good friends will do more for you than your own family. And that's exactly what he's talking about there. He says, oftentimes, a true friend is closer than your own blood. That's the way that works. And that's exactly what he means, Proverbs 18:24. So the need for the committed friends doesn't mean that, well, I need some friends, so I'm just going to rush out there and get all the friends I can. No, you don't get in trouble. Why? Because you need to pick your friends. You said, that doesn't sound right. Well, let's get to it, all right? The righteous should choose his friends carefully. Why? The best friends you have in the world probably should not be lost people if you're a bona fide Christian. And here's why. Always, 99% of the time, especially in boy-girl relationships, that's why saved people, they really never even need to date lost people. Well, I'm never going to marry them, and then you will. And then 1 Corinthians, what does it say? He says, really, there is no place. Why? Because you're always going to be at odds with one another, and the stats are proving it to this day. 99% of the time, the lost person pulls the saved person away from their commitment to Jesus. It's just 1 in 100 when the lost person is brought to Jesus through that relationship. Paul said, don't leave them. If that's what happens, you know, live in front of them, but all the hell that you go through while that's going on. Why? Because talk to too many people in their life. You say, well, yeah, you just let the Bible be your weed eater, and it'll weed out. You say, well, they won't have to change if I marry them. If they don't change it for you, marry them. Good luck with that one. Oh, well, they're gonna do all this different after we get married. How many times have I heard that? How many times have you said that? And you're still waiting on that. Well, it just doesn't work that way. Be careful. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. That's biblical. I didn't just come up with that. I just know the proof of it throughout people that I've seen in the last 25 years. Many things in life are not left to choosing, but friendships are. You can be civil and you can get along with other people and help them and do everything you can, but they are never to be that closest person that we're talking about that influences you, because that's what true friends do. They influence us. So we do not need anyone to influence us in the opposite direction, and that's exactly what he's saying there. The choice of friend is more than a right. It's a responsibility. You say, well, I can't choose who my friends are. Yes, you can. Can't you? Yes, all of us can. Well, I have to. Well, you have to be civil to them, but you don't have to be their closest friend. And you can be friendly to them, but they don't have to be your closest friend. Now, we're going to spend more time on this one than we do the children in the last one. Why? Because this is where all the headache is, isn't it? How many people in here are married? What's the percentage? 90%? Spouse relationships. Marriage is in trouble today because society and the church, unfortunately, have a faulty view of what it is. Every marriage faces conflict, misunderstanding, smash fantasies, and bruised egos. Can anyone say amen? Oh, our marriage is supposed to be perfect and it's just a joy and we'll never have any problems. I don't know what planet you got that from, but that is just not the way that goes. And here's what happens. Any real marriage held up against the faulty yardstick of this, oh, everything's joy and everything's easy, when you measure short, and it will, if relationships are meant to give that total joy always, guess what? They will not last. Why? Because something's going to happen. Anybody want to testify to that one? Things that you and I can't even control that bring pressure on that. And so someone's life is shattered. So when they don't have all the joy, they say, well, I'm done. And they go somewhere else. And then they do the same thing again somewhere else. So what happens? Nothing gets any better. Men and women communicate differently. Anybody agree with that one? The best way to clarify this is something. This is an old technique. It's not brand new at all. And it's just simply this. And we're going to look at the basics of it in just a moment. But it's just what we call restating. It's not my concept. I've heard it for 30 years. And that is simply, if I say something to my spouse or anyone, the best way to know that they heard what I said is they repeat what I said. And when they repeat it, usually it's not what I said. Ain't that right? So until they keep repeating it, until they hear exactly what I say, there's always going to be a miscommunication, right? Because what we thought we heard and what they said, it is, it's just, they don't go together very well. We have to do that two or three times sometimes. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Yo, tell me what I said. Oh, no, no, that ain't what I said. No hard feelings, but we want to get it right. Ain't it right? So this is not new. And that's exactly what happens. The person speaking speaks and the listener repeats it until they get exactly what I said. You know the old tale, right? When you have your kids in the classroom and one starts over here and he says something and they get through the line and the one over here at the end repeats what the first one said and it ain't the same continent. Same thing. Same thing. It's just a problem with communication. Now, even though it's going to look like the guys are maybe guilty, this thing goes both ways, all right, what I'm about to put up here. So, ladies, think at it from your perspective. Guys, we think of it from our perspective. It's a 50-50 problem, all right? And I didn't come up with these. Guy rules. Communication problems. Men are not mind readers. Hey? Hey, that's right. You know, I've been married 30 years. Still the same thing. You know, we can't read anyone's mind. So what's the other side of this? We need to be clear, but ladies need to be clear too. Both ways. This is not picking on any one person. Go both sides. Sunday sports is like the full moon, the changing of the tides, let it be. I'm not a sports fanatic, so it doesn't bother me. But if some of you are so committed to that's all you're going to do on Saturday, y'all going to have to work that out. I can't help you there, all right? If I think it's foolishness, it doesn't matter. The two of you have to work that out. But that's all that means, okay? Shopping is not a sport, and no, it's never going to be that way for us. All right? Shopping. Crying is blackmail. Isn't that right? Yes, that's blackmail. You can't do that. Whatever it is. As for what you want, let us be clear on this one. Subtle hints do not work. Strong hints do not work. Obvious hints do not work. Just say it. That's all you got to do. Just say it. I know your vocabulary is larger than ours. Starts when you're 3 years old. It's just a given, right? Everybody knows that. As a general rule, a girl's vocabulary is always going to be larger than a guy's. That's why we don't talk as much. One of the reasons why. We use up all our words by the time we get home, and you still got 5,000 left. That's just part of that. You got to work that out, all right? But just say it. You know, why not just tell us and hint around? Just, you know, it saves a lot of time, a lot of headache. No one gets mad. Is that right? That's right. Yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. How you feeling? I'm good. You sure? Yeah. That's it. Well, how you feel? See, that doesn't work that way. Yeah or no. Basically, that's our answers. Word it that way. Help us. Come to us with a problem only if you want us to solve it. Well, I don't want you to fix this. Then what are we doing? Why are you telling me? Well, I'm serious, guys. Girls, usually, as a general rule, we're fixers. That's how God made us. That kind of mentality. So when you come tell us all this trouble, we'll say, well, do this, 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 this. Well, I don't want you to fix it. Then why are you telling me about it? Honestly, not trying to be ugly, but you understand? Both ways there, us and the other side. Anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all comments become null and void after 7 days. We probably do not even remember yesterday. Whatever caused that argument, we don't remember what it was from yesterday. Why? We don't categorize everything the same way. Because we're not generally feelings and emotionally generated, all the stuff that you remember because it's tied to a feeling, it doesn't work that way for us. That's all. Not trying to be ugly. But that's the way it works, ain't it, guys? And ladies, you think we should remember what that was, and we just, you know, be honest with you. I'll tell you how true it is. I'll spend many, many, many hours every week working on my talk here. Probably next week this time, I won't remember a lot of it. Why? Something else has got to go in there. You know, I just don't have that capacity. So if you say something 7 days ago, unless it was life or death issue, don't get hurt if we do not really remember what we said or maybe even how we said it. You know, just you have to refresh our memory, but don't get upset if we don't remember. Why? Just one of those things, or at least I can only say for me on that one. Whenever possible, please say whatever you have to say during commercials. I don't have that one either. Don't watch much television. But I understand it, okay? I understand it. Christopher Columbus did not need directions, and neither do we. That's a universal man thing. I don't care if you have a GPS. It doesn't mean you don't know that you, it doesn't mean you do know where you're going, okay? So, guys, you need to back up on that one a little bit. All men see in only 16 colors like Windows default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkins is a fruit. We have no idea what mauve is. Don't do that. Debbie and Meredith, they say I'm colorblind. It's not that. It's just now, it used to be 16 colors. And now it's, I don't know what it is. Well, that green shirt. Oh, no, that's not a green shirt. That's, what did they say? Turquoise. What is turquoise? Never heard that before. You know, it was either blue or green or one of those, right? And this goes a long ways. Keep things simple for us, all right? If you can say it in 10 words or two, say it in two. That was the rule always from even school. They said, when you're trying to get a point across, if you can say it in 10 words or two, say it in two. Keep it simple. Is it blue? Is it close to blue? Well, we'll take that, all right? If we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we're going to act like nothing is wrong. And then you get mad because we don't know what's going on and we act like nothing's wrong because you said nothing's wrong. Remember number one? What was it? We are not mind readers, right? And only one person noticed they're all number one. Are any of you OCDs in here see it? Or just one person? So we're going to act like nothing's wrong if you say nothing's wrong. Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. All right. How are we going to overcome this? Why? Communication is the only way to solve any tension or any problem. And if you can't do that, you're never going to get along. You know, that's the problem. That's always the problem. And always, one of the main things in any marriage counseling we've done in 30 years, there's a lot of it always tied to they don't talk to one another. They don't know what the other one's thinking. They don't know why the other one's mad. Why? Because they don't communicate. At least to the where, okay, I know exactly why you're mad. I don't know why you're mad. Well, if you don't know, I ain't going to tell you, then I'm not going to know. So I can't fix it. Communication in friendship, in marriages. When we have to go somewhere, absolutely anything you want to put on is fine with us. As long as it's, you know, decent. Surely in all, you're going to wear decent stuff, right? Anything. Does this look all right? Yeah, let's go. And then we go back and change 4 or 5 times. Isn't that right? I don't know if all ladies have that problem or not. But, you know, guys, any of y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's just one of those things. Don't ask us because, promise you, if you have on clothes, we're good. That's all. I am in shape. Round is a shape. You need to do. Listen. Ladies, I took this one out but I'm going to share it anyway. If you think you're fat, you probably are. You don't need to ask us. Right? That is not fair. Do I look fat in this dress? You don't need to do that, ever. Because we don't win in that situation. Right? Right. So if you think it, you just go with that. I am in shape. Round is a shape. Thank you for reading this, and I know that I have to sleep on the couch tonight, but you know, it really doesn't bother guys because it's like camping. It's all right with us. Do you know how much all of that really is where our problems are? Simply, we don't communicate very well. We don't take the time. How do we know what the other one is thinking if we can't sit down and turn off everything and talk to one another and say, okay, this is what I think I'm hearing. Is that what you're saying? Till you get it right. Till both of you understand what the other one is saying, not what you think the other one is saying. Someone gave me something, and I don't think I brought it with me or I would read it. A little paragraph exactly is what this deal is. Because what you thought I said that you misunderstood is really not what I said, but you misunderstood it, so really it's your fault. You know, it ain't my fault. And the problem is simply this. Stating it clear enough where there's no guessing in there. Oh, I understand exactly. You don't have to agree with it, but at least you understand what the other person is saying. That's called communication. And you know what they always told us in Bible college? If people do not understand you, it's my fault. It ain't your fault. You know, so I'm always to speak on a level where at least every fifth grader in here could understand it. You know, and so if the people out there, they always told us, if they don't get what you're saying, it's your fault, preacher. You have to do the work. So whoever's doing the speaking in this issue in the relationship, it's the speaker's responsibility to make sure that it's understood by the other person. If you have to say it 10 times, so that can be understood. Then you can fix it if it's a problem. If it's a tension, you can resolve it. That's called communication. And guess what? That's a lot of work. So we'd rather just not speak to each other and go on about our business and grow farther and farther and farther apart. That's exactly what happens. And you really don't know the person. Why? Because you haven't taken time. We haven't worked through what it takes to really understand, okay, what makes them tick? You know, what's going on here? Because it's a lot of work. It's not... It can be joyful, absolutely, but you have to work it. You know, you have to do that. Marriage is difficult even when the spouses communicate well. It is. And those who do not learn how to communicate, there are insurmountable problems always that are tied directly to miscommunication. That's what happens. Paul says what? We're to speak lovingly the truth to one another. Some people say this very next line. Well, we always tell the truth, but you tell it in such a way that it destroys a person. You know, there's a way to be diplomatic. I'm learning, trying to learn how to do that. I don't really know how to do that yet from a political standpoint. But because Debbie constantly says, you can't say that. I know the words. I can say that. No, you can't say that. You can say that, but you got to find another way to say that. And here's what she says, and she's right, because if I'm not careful, I cut someone off from listening to the main stuff because the way I said it the first time, they just said, well, I don't want to hear that anymore. So, I mean, it's hard sometimes. You still have to tell the truth, but that's exactly what he's saying. Speak it in love. Speaking the truth in love means to speak with love and grace and still tell them the truth. If we embrace and nurture personal anger in our marriage, if you can't communicate it to deal with that, we're just opening up the door for the devil to do something even worse in our marriage relationship, because we will not face, you know, I hate confrontation, but if there's a problem, especially if it's causing anger, resentment, it has to be dealt with or it gets out of hand, completely out of hand. And then that's opening up the door for the devil to do something even worse than the tensions going on in the very first step. So something has to be done about it. We are to encourage one another with our words, using our words to build up. Say only what helps. You know, try to find the best way to do it. Not just from a negative standpoint. Say the things that help. We are to forgive each other, he says. Wow. Is anyone in here that's married more than 2 days ever had to forgive the other one for something? Hey, it's just going to happen. even when they don't intend to do something. They make a mistake, they do something, and we just have to say, oh, that's no big deal, and go on. Forgive that. Why? Because all of us will make some mistakes. It doesn't come natural. We have to discipline ourselves to do it. We have to discipline ourselves to make ourselves communicate with each other. You know, you ever thought about it? How when children get out of households, how many people in the United States divorce after their children are gone? Why? Because they don't know each other anymore. They're two different people. They let the children separate them in a way because they're so busy and they're going their own ways. And here they live together 30 years and then they get a divorce after their children are gone. And that's the key problem. They don't know each other anymore. Why? Because they haven't communicated through the whole process. Now, here's the fun one. Children relationships. I mean children and parents. Okay, this is what this is. Not children to children. Boy, that's a whole other world, isn't it? Concerning children, we must weigh our words carefully. They are heavier than we think. Ephesians says what? Don't provoke your children, but to train them up in the Lord. And Colossians adds the commentary on the task of training the children. Do not provoke them lest they become discouraged. You know, if all we ever do is the negative side, then they are discouraged and they'll quit trying even. It's easy to discourage children with our words. It's easy. We have to be careful, diligently to deal with that. We must be careful with their words. They're powerful, and they have a life-changing effect on the children. How many children that are grown now that we've talked to, and they refer back to they never could do anything right, to please their parents. It was always negative. And it was not a positive effect on the children's relationship with the parents as grown. Why? Because of this thing, because of what we're talking about right here. Our lives are the most powerful parenting tool, so we have to monitor it. What does that mean? How are you living that out in front of them? You know, that cliche is absolutely true. It's monkey see, monkey do. You know, I don't care how many times you tell them not to do something, if they see and you do it, guess what they're going to do? What you're doing. Whatever that is. You know, my dad, I thought about it this morning earlier. My dad was not a Christian until he was probably 60 and was raised in a really hard family. Everybody down there was pagan, and they made liquor and drank liquor. And my granddad, I never met him, his dad, because he died early, just really rough. And so he never had a really good role model. So when a guy says, well, I'm blaming that on my dad, it's not your dad's fault. You still get to make a choice. And my dad made a choice. He didn't act like he drank a lot, but he didn't do the things that his dad did. But you know one thing my dad taught me? And remember, he's a non-believer for most of my adult life. I never once in my lifetime saw him take one single thing that wasn't his. And never cheated anyone out of something when he could have cheated them out of it. Never once. And he was a lost person. Did I learn anything from that? Absolutely. He didn't have to say anything. Why? He just showed me. That's exactly what we're talking about. You know, how are we doing that with our actions? We have to monitor that. Diligently say, how am I doing this in front of the kids? You know, how's this going? What are they seeing? You can reinforce it by speaking to them and tell them this is why, but the main thing is that they see it. Proverbs says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. They see him. They see him. If he finds money out there and he tries to give it back to somebody else, he don't just take it home and use it. Why? Because it's not his. That's why, you know, all of my days that were in high school and 12 years of school, we never had a locker at my school. We never had a locker. We threw our stuff down in the hallway. No matter what it was. I don't ever remember any of the people that I went to school with ever had anything stolen. Isn't that amazing? Now you lock up everything you got and they still steal it. Why is that? It's a whole mindset that people are not teaching their children. You know, a lost world. They're not. You know, it's okay. Whatever you need to do to take advantage of anyone else, that's what you do. Well, they'll remember that, and one day they might hurt you with it. You know, you need to be careful. It is so important that we do first what we want our children to do later. And here's the good thing. When you realize how many mistakes you've already made, you can go back to your children and say, you know, I goofed on this one. Man, I'm sorry. I did this, and I just want to apologize. That is not right, and you don't need to do that because God doesn't bless that, and I'm sorry that I ever did it. And don't follow that one. That was a mistake I made. And they'll respect you a whole lot better than you being a hypocrite and acting like you didn't do it. And then turn around and say, well, now you don't need to do this kind of stuff. And they're thinking, even if they don't say it, well, I saw you do it. Why are you telling me not to do it? See how that works? They want to see it because what they see is what they do. That's the way that works. We cannot fool our children. They will spot hypocrisy and double standards and rebel completely against what we've directed and say, well, you know, you don't need to do that. And then they say, well, you did it. You know, you have people, and they wonder, well, I don't know what happened to them. And you go back and you look at their life, and you don't remember how you lived in that segment of 10 years in your life, and your children picked up on it, and you wonder why they're living like that now. They saw you living that way. I'm talking about people in my own family. I know that for truth. You know, I'm not speculating. They say, well, I don't know what happened to them. I'm saying, hello. You want me to tell you what happened to them? They didn't ask me, so I couldn't tell them. But I know. And I'm thinking, are you honestly that blind? The fact that the way you lived your life for 10 years in front of children that are old enough to see it, and 4 out of 5 of those kids did the very same thing, and you wonder what happened to them? They saw you doing it. Why do you think they would do it any different? Only by God's grace would they not do it. And God wasn't in the picture. And so there you go. They have to see it. God never intended for us to be loners. You know, children, someone said that we spend 2 years, first 2 years of their life, teaching them how to walk and talk. And then the next 16 years, we teach them to be quiet and sit down. Ain't that right? Boy, that's a paradox, isn't it? Parenting is a war. Do you know that? And we are, it's getting more intense and more intense when you see everything that's going on in society now. Do you remember, if you're my age, all the stuff they see on their phone, we never saw it until we were 20. And you think you don't have a battle on your hands? That's why I'm not sure every child under 20 needs their own particular phone that has access to the world. Well, you say, well, I can't control that. I guarantee you can. Why? Because where are they getting all this nonsense? From peers out there. You know, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago and how true it is. You know, it used to be before, I'm just say, smartphones and Facebook and all these social things. Before then, when children came home, they were not in competition with the rest of the world. You know, they could look how they looked. They could be who they were. They were not stressed out. They would come again in the morning when they get ready to go back to school, if they let it. But now it's what? Every 5 minutes. Every 3 minutes. Every 15 seconds. Someone's seeing a picture of this, or they're saying, we're doing this, or we're doing. So it's a 24-hour competition, and we wonder why there's a teenage suicide epidemic in America. Why is that? Because we as parents are not controlling that aspect of their life when we can. You said, oh, you're just being hard. No, I'm being responsible. Is it hard to be responsible? Oh, yeah, especially when you have to take that phone away from those kids till they learn some responsibility. You said, it's too big of a headache. You know how it is when you go to the grocery store and you got a little child and you say, if you don't quit that, we're going to walk out of here and not get anything to eat. Now, that's going to cost you, right? So you say, well, I don't want to pay that price. So next time they do it again. If you walk out of there one time and they don't get to eat any supper, the next time you say it, guess what? Ding, ding. If they have any brains at all, they'll say, I don't want to go there again. But who did it cost the most? You. See, it costs us the most if we're going to be responsible leaders for our families. Moms and dads for our children. It's us. Relationships. Boy, they're tough. Okay. When people talk about what God is doing, how many times have you ever heard them talk about it without them talking about a relationship with someone and something happening? None. It's always. God does everything through relationships. That's just the way that works. That's the way he started when he created Adam and he created Eve after. And everything else has been around it. If God's going to do something, it's that's the way it works. We've discovered that growth in the spiritual realm is a lot easier when it's together with another person that helps encourage you. That's the whole purpose for the church. The church doesn't save anyone. The church is initialized by Jesus for the simple reason he knew we needed a place where somewhat like-minded we try to war against the world outside for his glory. That's it. And we're not taking place with that and keeping our children as long as we can in that segment. It's a loss. Why? You think they ain't going to get it out? Well, I'm not going to make them. Well, you make them go to school, don't you? Well, I don't want them to turn against. They're going to turn against it anyway. At least keep it as long as you can, as long as you can hold it there with your responsibility. Why? Because God honors that. That's our responsibility. Relationships, boy, they tough, aren't they? Friendships, marriage, children, none of them are easy. But it's our responsibility to pay the price, to do the best we can for everyone's sake. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for being so tolerant. On our best days, we are horrible. Lord, just thank you for loving us anyway. Lord, just remind all of us to think through some of the issues where we've just been slack and lazy and not taking the responsibility for the relationships that we're in, friendships, marriages, children, that we're not doing everything that we can. We've gotten so occupied with this world that we're not taking our responsibility. Lord, just convict us and remind us how serious it is and how short a time we have to work on it, that you'll be glorified and the people will want to be drawn to you because of it. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.